Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to AJ Ministries, House of Prophecy. I'm your host, AJC, and I'm here to see you through the day. I want to thank you for waking up this morning because this is the day the Lord hath made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. God has given us another chance to come before his throne of grace, and today we're going to make it worthwhile. So I wanted to start a series today. It's my change series. Years ago, my apostle said to us, he said, change isn't change until you change. And I started to understand gradually what he meant. The problem was no one ever taught us how to change. They never told us the concept of changing. See, a lot of times they say, well, you hear pastors and leaders say, go to church, do this, do that, do this, do that. But they really don't show you how to change. They really don't tell you how to change. They tell you, read the Bible, pray, and let God change you. And they tell you to do this, and they tell you to do that. But they don't tell you how to really change. So I said, you know what? I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to make this my mission to change. Because here at AJ Ministries, we want you to change your entire self. We want you to become the best version of you can be. But how can you become that version of you if you don't even know who that is? So this is a change series. And the first part of this change series is understanding the person in the mirror. Understanding the person in the mirror. Now this series is going to be, I'm going to do it maybe twice a week. I might do it. I don't know. It depends on how God leads me. But it's going to be about a six-part series at least. And maybe even more than that because I have to cut it up for my other broadcast. I don't really like them to be much longer than 30 minutes if they have to be. So if you like it, you can stop by the website. You'll see it up on there. You can stop by Zeno FM, where our name is AJ Ministries, HOP, of course. We have a station over there that you can hear us on 24 hours a day. You can always pick up one of our old broadcasts, our old podcast from there, or on our YouTube channel, which the link will be in the description. So starting this series is I need to understand the person in the mirror. The first thing we want to do is let you know that the Bible says that in Psalms 51 and 5, it says, and I quote, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I'm going to say that again. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. When I talk about understanding the person in the mirror, you have to understand the base of what you're really looking at. See, what I want you to understand is that if you take off all the jewelry, if you take off the clothes, if you take off the money, if you take off the possessions, the worldly possessions, if you take off that facade that you wear every day that you want people to see, and really look inside that person, what do you see? What do you really see? Because you aren't your articulation. You aren't what people see. You aren't that college graduate or that professor. That's not who you are. Who really are you? And that's what I want you to get to. So this scripture, I think, best allows us to start to dwell in that place of where or who you really are. What I want to do is this scripture, I want to take it and talk about the two parts of it, because there's two parts of the scripture. So the first part, but I want to talk about it in reverse, because you'll understand it better if we talk about it in reverse, okay? And I hope you understand what I'm saying. I don't want to offend anybody, but of course, if you want to say anything about what I'm about to say, please drop us an email. You can give me a phone call. The number and stuff is in the description. I'll be more than happy to get back to you at my earliest convenience, or on one of my sites, or one of the sites that we're on. Just go on the site and leave a comment, and we'll be more than happy to respond to it if you want us to respond to it. Now, I'm not going to be sitting there talking. I'm going to let you know ahead of time. I'm not going to be responding to any silly stuff. I'm not going to do it. I am not going to sit back and entertain idiocracy. Okay? Not going to do it. But I will respond to serious questions. And it's not a dumb question if you don't understand. But if you do understand and you just want to go back and forth about it, I ain't doing all that. I learned years ago that I don't have to fight for the Bible. The Bible fights for itself. So, but if you want some real understanding regarding what we're about to talk about, please, by all means, leave me a message, give me a call, shoot me an email, and we in it. I'm gonna do the best I can to explain what you need, what I'm saying right now. But if you need more, please don't hesitate to call. So, the second part of this scripture is, in sin did my mother conceive me. In sin did my mother conceive me. Now, what that truly means is this, and to make it as easy for you to understand, when you were born, when you were conceived, when your parents came together and had you, I can almost categorically say, in black families in the ghetto, at least 80 to 90% of the children born in the ghetto, and I don't know if these statistics are correct, but for the most part, in the ghettos I was born, most children were born out of wedlock. You might have been with the man that your mom and dad might have been together for 30 years, but were they married? Your mom and dad was off and on from years in and out, but were they married? They called each other husband and wife, but were they married? She left him everything she had. He left her everything he had, but were they married? They parented you as well as they could from childhood to birth and beyond. You always called him daddy. You always called her mom, but were they married? And that's the key. The Bible says that anything outside of the word of God is considered sin. So if this is the case, if this is considered sin to me, if anything outside of my word is considered sin, then you were born in sin. You were conceived in sin. Simple. Now, you said, your mom probably said, I didn't want to marry him. I don't want to be married and all this other stuff. Yeah, but you wanted to have children. So that means you've had children out of wedlock. If you had children out of wedlock, that means that the children are now bastards. That's just, I'm sorry. And I know it sounds bad. I know it sounds rough, but it's the truth. See, a lot of times we sit around and we talk and we say, well, this is the norm. This is what everybody else is doing. Yeah, but this is not the right way. Just because it's what everybody else is doing doesn't mean it's the right way. My mom, my grandmom, she used to always say, if Jimmy jumped off a bridge, would you jump off the bridge with him? And that's as simple as I can make it. Would you jump off that bridge with him? In today's society, most of us are jumping off that bridge with Jimmy. We don't know why, but Jimmy did it. It looked like he had fun jumping off that bridge, so you jumping off right behind him. Not knowing what you're going to get yourself into, not knowing what's going to happen once you get to the bottom of that fall. But you jump off that bridge with Jimmy. And that's the first place you got to understand. When you strip away all this stuff that you have, when you were conceived in sin. Your parents may have been you may have been conceived on a one-night stand. We have children that were conceived today out of molestation and rape. We have children that were conceived today out of just bad thoughts for selfish reasons. We were conceived out of sin. The second part of that is, or the first part of that, I was shapen in iniquity. That's the first part of that scripture. I was shapen in iniquity. Now, the actual iniquity would be a term that I didn't want to use because it was so. It was really, the way they said iniquity was, God was like, what in the world? But it was really bad. But I want to make it so it's a little easier for you to understand, a little better for you to understand, or to accept. Iniquity has to do with the process of what's going on in your environment. So, very easily, we live in a society of iniquity. Because everything that's going on around us is made for man to satisfy the flesh. Let me ask you a question. When you look in the mirror and you say to yourself, do I like what I see? What are you talking about? Do I like what I see? You realize that the clothes you wear, the jewelry you wear, the way you wear your hair, the way you talk, the way you act, it's all manipulated by the flesh, which is manipulated by your environment. So when you are out there buying these clothes and dressing, is this really how you want to dress? Or are you looking at somebody else and saying, this is what people say is in style. So I want to dress according to the style. Why? So that I don't look like, so people don't look down their nose at me, so people don't look at me in a bad way or a negative way. So you are manipulated daily by the environment and the things that are around you. You know, I say that, and I don't say it lightly, because for so many years, I allowed myself to do things of the flesh that I really didn't want to do. See, I thought to myself that if I didn't do them, people wouldn't like me. If I didn't do them, people wouldn't understand me. If I didn't do them, people would try to take advantage of me. So I made sure I did what they thought I could do, what they thought I should be doing. I even went to the point of only dating women for specific reasons. When I was a child, I used to date women because of the way I was growing up. I dated women. I would date this woman because she had money. I would date this woman because everybody else thought she was attractive. I would date this woman because she was light-skinned. I didn't even realize what type of women I wanted. And in the same token, I became a chameleon because I became whatever that woman or the people around me wanted me to be so that I would be protected from their wrath or their scrutiny. What do I mean? I started selling drugs. It wasn't because I wanted money that bad, but I started selling drugs because everybody around me was selling drugs. So I don't want to be the corny guy. I don't want to be the punk, so I'm going to start selling drugs. I started having fights and stuff because everybody around me had to be tough. So it's not that I had an art against a lot of people, but they was doing it, so I did it. I started dating a lot of women because men that I knew looked up to guys, or they considered them virile if they had a lot of women. Not that I necessarily wanted the women. Not that I necessarily was looking for a relationship, but because they did it. And I see so many men and women doing things in today's society that they really don't want to do it. Or they really only do it because of the people around them, the environments they live in. You know, I would beg to differ if you ask guys why are they sag, and I thought this was just a fad, but they still sagging now. Why are they sagged in their pants? And a lot of them will give you a simple response like, oh, that's my swag. But why do you sag? What's the meaning behind the sag? Is there I'm sagging because it's the end thing to do. But, okay, so if you pulled your pants up, then what would the end thing be? What would happen to you if you didn't have your pants sagging? Wow. Well, I'd be corny. Or I'd be this. Why? And that's the first part of this lesson. I need you to understand that there's more to you than sex, money, and drugs. That the people around you shouldn't be dictating how you live. I know so many men today and women that won't go back to school to get a GED or to learn a trade, because if they do something like that, it's too much like turning from what they're used to doing, from what people have always told them they could do or couldn't do. You got to understand it. Around you are the people that actually make you. If you want to see a drug dealer, I bet you 9 times out of 10, he got a bunch of drug dealers hanging around him. He don't hang out with a bunch of straight-edge people. He hangs out with a bunch of drug dealers. Now, the more money they make, just like rappers, they don't hang out with a lot of R&B singers. They hang out with a lot of rappers. Why? Because they're all doing the same thing. It's acceptable in that circle. If you see a person that's an alcoholic, he's an alcoholic, cause, and he hangs around with a lot of alcoholics. If he's a weed smoker, he hangs around with a lot of people that smoke weed. If you see a person that's a female that's always showing off her body, most of her friends do the same thing. Rarely would you see that person, that same person, not hanging out with the people like them. And that's where you have so many problems come in, so many issues come in, because when you see that, when you see stuff like that, it's a shame. Because then you got women doing things that they really don't want to do just to be accepted by people they really don't need. You see men doing things they really don't want to do because of other men that don't understand any better. You know, when I was growing up, you had that talk with your kids, the birds and the bees? They didn't have no birds and bees. I never got that conversation. I never got that. No one ever gave me that birds and bees conversation. And I don't even remember if I did it with my sons. But we never had that birds and bees conversation. That conversation before my time was a must. By the time I was growing up, my uncles were showing me the birds and the bees, or how I should act towards women. Now, these are grown adult men out doing whatever they wanted to do. And I'm hanging out with them, seeing how they treat women, saying, oh, maybe I should be treating, this is how, you know, these women in love with him or in love with her, that's maybe what women want. And then you look at the pornography, and you look at these women and how the men treat them inside the pornography, and you think, well, maybe this is what women want. Maybe this is what they should. I mean, this is what I should do to them. And the same thing with the women. Women look at those same things. They listen to mama, grandmama, and great-grandmama, and they see how they do things, and then you say, well, maybe this is how I should be doing things. So when you come in the house and you got this big old attitude for no reason at all, you think, grandma was screaming at granddad all the time, so I'm going to scream at you all the time to show you I love you. And you really don't know what's on the inside. You really don't know what's going on. You really don't have an idea of who you truly are. And with that being said, I want to say this. This week, take your time. Sit down and make your list. And really write down what you want for you. And I don't mean what you want, clothes, house, cars, money in the bank. I don't mean that. What do you want for you? Emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, what do you want for you? How do you really want to act? Do you really want to be that girl that every man want her because she's showing half her body off? Or do you really want a man that loves you for your mind? Every day you go out and you buy this $95,000 worth of hair. But when you take that hair off, can you be beautiful without the hair? Can you love yourself without that jacket? Without the muscles? Can you love yourself without cursing every time you open your mouth? Can you love yourself without treating people badly? You know, when we was growing up, they had a saying. They said, treat people how you would want to be treated. Figure out in yourself how you really want to be treated. See, the problem I have is that a lot of times we smoke reefer and drink beer and drink alcohol and drink wine to escape. We're calming down. It relaxes me. I'm depressing. I'm keeping myself from overloading. When I come down from the day's long day of work and doing whatever I'm doing, I need something just to relax me. But why? Why do you need a drink to relax you? Why do you need marijuana to make you feel as though you're intellectually smarter? Why do you need these extra stimulants to make you feel good? Are you really trying to escape you? Are you really trying to get out of your own mind? Do you need a man around you all the time trying to paw at you to make you feel as though you're attractive? And if you need someone to make you feel attractive, why? Why don't you think you're attractive? Well, my head is too big. But it's your head. You don't have a choice in the matter. You got a big head. I wish I had bigger lips. Why? My lips, the way they were made wonderfully. Oh, well, I'm too dark. Why? Who told you was too dark? Who told you that you were too fat? Who told you that you was ugly? What makes you believe that you're not acceptable just as you are? Why do you put on that facade of being angry all the time, being mean, being tough? What are you truly hiding from? What are you truly afraid of? What are you truly running from? You know, so many of us go through so many trials and tribulations on a daily basis, but we fail to understand that if we change and become true to thine own self, be true to my own self, between who I am. Be true to me first. If I learn to love me and start to change me, then the things around me have to change. If I change me, then the woman I'm with, she gotta change. If I change me, the man I'm with, he gotta change. If I change me, then the things around me have to change because I won't stand for it any longer. I won't accept it any longer. Change. And where does change start? With that person in the mirror. You have to be happy with you. Outside of all everything else. Outside of what the defenses you put up. Outside of the people that are around you. Outside of all those things. You have to be happy with you. And I want you to take this week and start to finding out who the real you are. Who really are you? Seven years ago, I started searching for who I really was. I started digging inside of who I really am, what I really wanted. And I found so much pain, so much hurt, so much inacceptance. I didn't even realize that I didn't like being short and that I had ought against myself for being short. I didn't realize that I was a chameleon to women and didn't really even know what I liked. I really didn't know until 7 years ago that I didn't know me. Without the drinking, without the smoking, without the applause or the people in my face, who are you? That's the first lesson we want to think about. We have to learn to love that person in the mirror. If you didn't smoke cigarettes, if you didn't drink alcohol, if you don't do this and you didn't do that, would you still love you? You know, so many times I see people with cigarette habits that they can't break. They can't break the cigarette habit. Now, my question is, if you can't break the cigarette habit, but you don't like smoking cigarettes, why? I got to take a break for a second. For all those on Blog Talk Network, Blog Talk Radio, I'll have the rest of this posting this probably later this week. So don't be afraid. I love you. Thank you for visiting. See you next time, okay? Be blessed.